this evening's activities. We've had a full day of blessings and wonderful fellowship with one another. And as they say, to put the icing on the cake, I'd like to turn this part of the program over to Brother George from Chicago.
Well, dear brethren, I'm sure we have all been richly blessed this day. I know Sister Florence and I have. It's always a privilege to meet with our dear brethren here in the Northeast. We've known all of many of you for many, many years, and we're touched with every privilege of fellowshipping together with you. Well, we've had a day of feasting on the deep truths of Revelation, and we're richly blessed as we saw the overall view of how our Heavenly Father has been dealing with His church throughout the age. We were blessed with a very powerful thought of how each of us has our Father's genetic code within us, and how whatever we do with our life, every worldly influence is going to be having an influence on that genetic code. What a powerful thought. We want to bear in mind and do everything within our power to do those things that will take that genetic code and develop it to its fullest potential, that one day we might hear that well done. One of the aspects of our walk that is so precious to us is the privilege of prayer. And so we'd like to lift our voices together now as we consider this precious privilege of coming to the great Creator of our universe, our Heavenly Father, in prayer. Let us sing together In the Garden. To come to our Heavenly Father commune with Him and to hear His words come to our hearts as we there are before Him. A thought we recently heard that was a great blessing to us and I'd like to share it with you. It's Brother Michael Nakora. He was in Chicago last week. And he gave the thought that too often we come to our Heavenly Father at the throne of grace in prayer with the solutions to our problem rather than presenting the problem, as it were, and leaving it with our Heavenly Father. And I think that's so true. We are so predisposed to wanting the Lord to do a certain thing for us in our life. But rather than bringing the direction to our Father, to leave it before Him and acquiesce to whatever the Lord's providence may do with the problem that we have that's confronting us. As we're thinking of the subject of prayer, we'd like to read now a beautiful piece of writing on the subject. It's called The Music of Prayer. We've asked our sister Becky Gray to read that for us.
Once there was a violinist who played in an enormous symphony orchestra. There was nothing he loved better than hearing the beautiful sounds of the orchestra's music. But the man was discouraged and felt very insignificant in the midst of so many instruments. What difference does it make if I play or not, he thought. No one could possibly hear my single violin among all the other great musicians in the orchestra. Then, one day, the violinist missed rehearsal. The conductor called him aside the next day and said, "We missed you yesterday. Something didn't sound right when the orchestra began. And it was then that I noticed you were gone. You play so beautifully, and I want you to know that it's truly a pleasure to have you in the orchestra." The violinist was astounded. "Do you mean that you can distinguish my instrument from all the others?" "Of course," the conductor answered him. "How else would I be able to advise each musician to play louder or softer, slower or faster?" And so it is when we pray. Though many of God's faithful may lift their prayers to Him at one time, we can be confident that He hears our prayers individually and answers each one's needs with love and guidance.
A beautiful lesson of how each one is indeed precious in the sight of our God. Each one that will be faithful will be part of that royal diadem. You know, sometimes we hear the thought, and we might use it ourselves, and I think we know what we mean when we talk about the Lord's little ones. But, you know, I've never really liked to use that phrase, because no one that will be a part of that royal diadem is going to be a little one, but a giant among the intelligent creation of God. Truly, each one is precious and is a part of the apple of God's eye. Something just came to mind. We all remember our dear brother Julius Bednarz. A few days before he died, we were visiting with him in the hospital. And he says, "You know, George, I've never appreciated the scripture about how each part of the members of the body plays an important function. The seeming insignificant part of his body that broke down was his liver. He never thought of it. Nobody ever saw it. But oh, what a part it played in his life." And so truly each one of that royal diadem has a quality known only to God, but it's beautiful. And we want to see those qualities, to see the things that our Heavenly Father sees in each one that He has called. Let's again join our voices together in singing praise of the hymn, Amazing Grace. Truly it is amazing that which we have received the privilege to enter into. Be beginning to understand the fullness of how light our trials, which now seem heavy, really will be when we compare them with that which lies beyond the veil. You know, I think many of you have come to know Brother Beloga. I don't think he's here today, but we had him in our home for several days, and he endeared himself to our hearts. And as he went over many of the experiences in the Siberian labor camps and prison, he used a word that we've come to appreciate, and Florence uses it, and I, to one another, to remind ourselves when we start to get a little bit overly concerned of something. And that was the word insignificant. So many things that seem to be such a gigantic matter in our lives, most of them are really insignificant. When you think of what is meant by when we are there 10,000 years, what it will be like. Now we'd like to have a group of four of our brethren, perhaps we can have the lights turned up now, Brother Richard, sing to us a hymn. It has some beautiful sentiments. I don't know if you've heard it before, but it's called When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way. And so it's reflecting upon the hope. And we want to reflect on the hope often, for indeed it's an anchor to our soul.
some of our brethren are coming close to the last mile of the way. And perhaps this hymn has a special meaning for them. To look forward to that moment when the last breath we have breathed and our eyes close and we wake beyond the veil. Oh, what joys that will be. I couldn't help but think, as I said that, of Sister Strahanyets, just 99 years old. Soon she will reach for what she has longed, coming close to the last mile of the day way. The next hymn we would like to sing, the first time we heard it, it was about 20-some years ago. It was at a time that Sister Becky Gray and Sister Alice Schneider were about to go into full-time co-quartering work. And we heard the hymn, it truly touched our hearts. Brought back memories of every time we sing it of that time. And we like to sing it now, but pay a special attention to the words and how it really should apply to each one of us, as our Father has sent us to do a work within us and about us and to those with whom we meet with each passing day. So send I you. Responsibility as ambassadors of our Father's kingdom. singing this, but brings back memories to ourselves, and I think it will to you as we reflect upon a few of our brethren who have gone before, who have labored in the vineyard and were faithful, examples to us through the years of serving the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Many of the younger brethren may not know some of the brethren, so we'll try to mention their names as we go along. And for those who of us who have the privilege of knowing these brethren, it will bring back memories to us of their faithfulness. Of course, our dear Brother Russell, and you could see from his study, he had many things going on at the same time. He was a busy man. We could just marvel how he could write, the man with the writer's inkhorn, so many things for our uplift. This was where the photodrama of creation was shown in Chicago. So, goes back a few years, 1916. One of the brethren faithfully serving there was Brother Jens Copeland. He was a projectionist in the photodrama, showing it each day, twice a day, for quite some time. Other faithful brethren who served in the photodrama, Brother Dan Morehouse was one of the ushers each day, and Sister Nodi worked with the phonograph records, coordinating it with the lip movements. Two dear saints of the Lord gone home. Another giant of a saint, a dear brother, Peter Kalman. I know in my younger days he was such an inspiration to me. The Lord wanting us to be utilized, so send I you, so to speak, in his service. Brother Zeno, faithful pilgrim of many years. And for the younger brethren who may not know, Brother Zeno devoted most of his adult life, in later years serving primarily the brethren, but in his earlier years, by himself, he would go into a town, he would go to a printing shop, have tracts printed, he would go and distribute the tracts throughout the little town, rent a hall, put on a public talk, and then continue there for how long, ever long it was necessary, to continue to feed those that came out to that first public talk, and he established many ecclesias throughout the United States in this way. Truly a beautiful example to us. Brother McCauley, another pilgrim who served in the pilgrim service for many years. Brother Swanson from the Pacific West Coast, some of the brethren I'm sure know him here, another pilgrim that was used very faithfully in the Lord's service. Brother and Sister Megason, two brethren that we in Chicago loved so very deeply. We had him serve our ecclesia so many times because every message he brought was just filled with the Lord's Spirit. We still reflect on him every time we use the book, Brother Megason's Notes, and I'm sure many of you do too. And then there were brethren who served the pilgrims. Sister Simonis, Sister Sarasi, many times the brethren coming to the classes here in Connecticut. As the brother reflected the other day when he comes to Haven, that was Tim, yeah. Sister Sarasi's good cooking. Sister Strahanyet, Sister Helen. Here's a shot that goes back many years. You know, let's try to see if we could. I don't know if we can remember all the brethren's names here. But let Brother, you help me where I forget. Brother Bickle, Brother Richard, Art Cook, Gene, Brother Ray, Ken. I can't see too well from here. Dick Sargent, okay, Brother Loomis. Sister V, Sister Sue, Brother Julius, Brother Crumple, Virginia, Sister Novi, Brother Wright, Ruth, Vernie, Goldie Wood, Sister Jessie White, Clara Gleason. Dear brethren who worked together, are great. I remember our first visit out to the East and visited brethren, given their hearts to serving full time in the Lord's service at the dawn. They were all a great inspiration to me. It's good to reflect upon the years. How long ago was that? Oh, well, here's a shot of Sister Irene. And to me, it's a personification of Sister Irene's life. Service in any and every way she can. I was inspired in our first visit with Sister Irene. Brother Julius and Sister Sue. By the way, Sister Sue is still with us, but is in quite a bit of pain from the cancer that she has. Still cheerful in spirit, waiting for the last mile to go home. Sister Alpha and Sister Charlotte Copersmith. Sister Charlotte now is, she was always so effervescent, but now has Alzheimer's disease in the nursing home in Chicago. Your brother Loomis, I like this shot, he loves to sing, but a dear saint of the Lord, served the Lord for so many years. Brother Everett Scott, printing many things. Brother John Ukrainsky goes into the press every 2-3 times a week, faithfully serving. Brother George is here. All working in the vineyard. Brother Edgar Buckley. Brother Irving. Recall Brother Irving's service to us, we in Chicago. Loved him dearly, then in his later years on the West Coast. Serving in the flower shows, in various fair booths here, brethren serving in Chicago. Booth we had in the flower show at one time. Well, it's good to reflect on examples of brethren who were sent of the Lord, so send I you, to utilize their lives in helping, serving, and proclaiming the wonderful message, the greatest message on the face of the earth that we just so want to share with others. I would like to have our brother Steve Sarasi read for us a quotation from Volume 6, page 137, relative to our service to others.
True sanctification of the heart to the Lord will mean diligence in His service. It will mean a declaration of the good tidings to others. It will mean the building up of one another in the most holy faith. It will mean that we should do good unto all men as we have opportunity, especially to the household of faith. It will mean that in these various ways our lives, consecrated to the Lord, shall be laid down for the brethren day by day, opportunity by opportunity, as they shall come to us. It will mean that our love for the Lord, for the brethren, for our families, and sympathetically for the world of mankind, will increasingly fill our hearts as we grow in grace, knowledge, and obedience to the divine word and example. Nevertheless, all these exercisings of our energies for others are merely so many ways in which, by the Lord's providences, our own sanctification may be accomplished. As iron sharpeneth iron, so our energies on behalf of others bring blessings to ourselves.
Yes, every service that we do for others, every proclamation of truth, glorifying our Heavenly Father, is at the same time developing, crystallizing our characters. Now we'd like to have our sister Helena sing for us the hymn, He Careth for You. Perhaps we could have the lights, Brother Richard. Thank you, Sister Helena. Indeed, no matter what the trial, what the sorrow, and as they may perhaps seem to be coming more severe, may we reflect upon the promise that, indeed, if they are becoming more severe, it's only because the Lord sees that we are becoming more mature and we're able to bear a little bit more. But through it all, He cares. He's holding our hand. They're necessary for the last bit of crystallization of our characters. The next hymn that we're going to sing is one that I don't think too many have heard before. We're going to ask Sister Florence to play it so we get the melody. You could perhaps hum it to yourself the first time through. But what we'd like to do is, it's called His Sheep Am I. It's a beautiful melody. And in the chorus, we want to have the brothers sing the echo part. The sisters will sing the higher melody, and there's an echo of for the brothers. So as we come to the chorus, rather than kind of hum it a little louder this first time through to get the melody. It truly is beautiful. Florence, you want to play it once through? Dark the night and rough the way, with the Lord at our side, we can endure. Now we'll have our brother Rick Buss read for us Romans, portions of the 12th chapter from the Phillips translation.
with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have real warm affection for one another as brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, and let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for the Lord. Base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. And as for those who try to make your life a misery, bless them. Share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those who are sad. Don't become set in your own opinions. Don't pay back a bad turn by a bad turn to anyone. See that your public behavior is above criticism. Live in harmony with each other. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone.
Live in harmony with each other. Live at peace. May we each strive to promote that peace that our beloved brother Paul was admonishing us to endeavor to have amongst ourselves. Many years ago, we had a theme hymn for one of our general conventions. It was Praise to Our King. I'm not sure whether it was here in Bowling Green, goes back a long way, or at Bloomington. We'll sing it now, just a little different words, same melody. Oh, that will be glory.
Just to be near the dear Lord, I
Now we will have a group of our brethren, a group of sisters, that will sing for us, "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." We have the lights, please. Yes, he who has made provision for the tiny sparrow, how much more for all of us. Now we'll have our sister Margaret Filajewski read for us Heart Gifts.
Heart heart gifts. It's not the things that can be bought that are life's richest treasure. It's just the little heart gifts that money cannot measure. A cheerful smile, a friendly word, a sympathetic nod are priceless little treasures from the storehouse of our God. They are the things that can't be bought with silver or with gold, for thoughtfulness and kindness and love are never sold. They are the priceless things in life for which no one can pay, and the giver finds rich recompense in giving them away. Luke 6:38.